This morning, we want to talk about this idea of open up. Open up. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now, it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to talk to us for a few minutes this morning about this man named Matthew, who was one of the great 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also known in the New Testament as Levi. Now Matthew was sitting in his tax office when Jesus approached him. He had been looking into the faces of men who despised him all day long. What a joy it must have been when he looked up and saw the loving, kind face of the Savior. Now we learn much from Matthew and about Matthew in these few verses, Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. Three things. In the first place, we see that Matthew opened up his heart to Jesus. He opened up his heart. When Jesus said, follow me, Matthew arose and followed him. Now, my friends, there are many who hear the saving gospel and close their hearts. They put off obedience to the Lord either through rebellion or procrastination. Matter of fact, over in Acts chapter 7, we read about the sermon that Stephen brought to many of his fellow countrymen, the Jews. And as he was concluding that sermon in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And you know the rest of the story. While they stoned Stephen, they picked up rocks and stones and cast them at Stephen until he died. They were rebellious against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back in verse 51, Stephen had said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. My friends, there are religious people today who are rebellious against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Obviously, those who are atheists are rebellious against the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. There are those who are parts of certain types of cults, whether it be Satanism or some other humanistic cult, and they are rebellious against the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some who rebel against the gospel simply because they want to live immoral lives. They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin in this world around us. They love the world. But then, like in Stephen's case and the audience he was preaching to, there are many religious people today who are rebellious against the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, the Lord said very clearly, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's just plain and clear. And yet there are religious people today who rebel against that. And they say it's just not so. Baptism is not necessary to salvation. That contradicts what the Lord said. Are you going to believe the Lord or are you going to rebel against Him? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter told his audience to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now friends, you can't be saved until your sins are gone. In Acts 22 verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can't be saved until your sins are washed away. And in that verse, Ananias told Saul that in order to do that, he must arise and be baptized. No wonder Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, there's an antitype which also now saves us, baptism. But there are folks who rebel against the gospel of Jesus. They won't open up their heart to Him, perhaps because of a family traditional belief or whatever other reason. And then there are some who won't open up their hearts to Jesus because of procrastination. We have an example of that over in Acts chapter 24. We read the story of Felix and how he procrastinates. In verse 25, he told Paul, he said, "Go away for now, and when there is a convenient time, I will call for you." A convenient time? When is it a convenient time to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, I want to tell you what Paul told those folks at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." It's right now, my friends. You may not have another moment. You may not have another opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul reminded those folks, "God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." They had obeyed from the what? From the heart. We must open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Matthew not only opened up his heart to Jesus, but Matthew opened up his home for Jesus. We read on in the story and we find that Jesus is at the home of Matthew eating a meal. Now there were other tax collectors sitting there eating with him, and of course the hypocritical Pharisees wanted to criticize the Lord Jesus for that, but the point here is Matthew opened up his home for Jesus Christ. Do we open up our homes for other people? Somebody says, "Well now, how can I open up my home for Jesus Christ? I mean, after all, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's been dead for 2,000 years. His body rose from the grave and He ascended back up to the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. How can I open up my home to Jesus?" I'm going to tell you two ways in which you can do this. Number one is by showing hospitality to those who need it. The Lord said in Matthew 25, verse 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer and say, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, or see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." When you show hospitality to others, you're showing hospitality to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we open up our homes to others, we are opening up our homes to Jesus. I'll tell you another way we open up our home to Jesus. We do so by living godly and allowing only godly things in our homes. If we drink, if we cuss, if we practice fornication, and the list goes on, in our homes, if we entertain ourselves with filth on the television station, filth on the radio, filth in the books and magazines, we have shut the door to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is true if we allow others to entertain us with these things by way of the television or other forms of entertainment. Listen, Jesus isn't comfortable in these types of situations because He does not approve of them. Have you opened up your home to Jesus, or have you made Him feel unwelcome? In Titus chapter 2, verse 12, we're told that the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we ought to deny those things. And we need to provide an atmosphere in our home that if the Lord Jesus Christ Himself were to come in and sit down on our couch, why, He'd feel right at home. We do that by regular family Bible study. In Acts 17, verse 11, those folks were called noble-minded because they searched the Scriptures daily. We ought to do that every day in our home with our family. Hebrews 5, 10 to 12. The Hebrew writer got onto those folks because they weren't studying the Word of God like they ought to. We ought to have a prayerful atmosphere in our home. One that is given to prayer. A home that prays without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17. Open up. We find that Matthew opened up his heart to Jesus. We find that Matthew opened up his home to Jesus. And we learn that Matthew opened up his hands for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, we see that he was among that group of 12 who went out and preached the gospel. He put his hands to work for the Lord. Listen, Christians must open up their hands for the Lord. We need to be busy living godly and setting forth the right teaching example by the way we live. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, the Lord Jesus Christ taught that we, as children of God, are lights unto the world. We're the salt of the earth. We ought to, as he said there in verse 16, let our light so shine that men may see our works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so people can come to believe upon God and come to follow the Lord Jesus Christ just by looking at our good works. Philippians 2, 14 to 16, the Apostle Paul reminded those brethren that they were living in a wicked generation and that they ought to shine as lights in that wicked generation. Peter talked about how other people, by our good works that they observe, can come to glorify God in heaven. So we need to live right in the world. Live right among your neighbors. Live right among your friends. Live right among your co-workers. Don't be the hypocrite. Don't sit in the pew on Sunday and then go to work Monday morning with cussing and bitterness, spitefulness toward others that you meet. We need to open up our hands for the Lord, not only by letting our light shine, but by trying to teach the gospel to our friends and neighbors and co-workers in our family. We need to open up our hands by studying and praying and attending church services. We need to open up our hands by working for the Lord, just as Matthew did, and just as we are commanded and created in Christ to do. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul tells us that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible tells us there that Christ died for us, that He might purify us from every lawless deed, and to create in Himself His own special people zealous for good works, zealous, on fire for good works. Is that your life? Are you out trying to save those who are lost? There are people out there, their eternal destiny is hell. The lake which burns with fire and brimstone, and you see them every day. You look into their eyes at the bank. You look into their eyes down at the grocery store where you shop, or at the mall or on the street corner. Every day you meet somebody whose eternal destiny is the lake of fire. Have you ever said anything to them that might change that destiny? Maybe hand them a tract or invite them to church services or ask them if they would like to discuss the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Or do we just cower away with our tail between our legs? Let them go. Maybe somebody else will teach them. Oh, we need to open up our hands for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew left all in order to open up for Jesus. He opened up his heart to Jesus. He opened up his home to Jesus. And he opened up his hands for Jesus. Don't shut the Lord out of your life. Open up. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website at www.defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You would be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.